Bruchim Abboim, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha Shir. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Devarim. It's also going to be this week's Parsha. It's also Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos prior to Tisha B'Av. Tonight is Chav Ches Tammuz Tav Shin Pei, corresponding with the English calendar, July 20th, 2020. I would like to dedicate tonight's shir for Refuah Shleima for my father, Reb Nota Tzvi Ben Sora Miriam, who will be going into surgery probably Wednesday for having fractured his thigh, or he fell off a chair and he hurt himself and he made a small fracture. And I think it was a hip. It was a fracture in his hip. And he's an elderly person, and it's not a serious operation, but he's not a youngster. And we want him to have a Refuah Shleima, and we wish him a Refuah Shleima with all the Chayli Yisrael, Be'ez HaShem. With this shir. So now, let's begin with my following introduction. This Parsha. Parsha's Devarim is also the beginning of Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim is known as Mishneh Torah. As in the many ways, it's repeating parts of the Torah. It's known to be also as a Sefer Musar, a Sefer of Musar that would teach people instruction how to live. In the Sefer Be'er Moshe, he brings down in the Sefer Beis Yaakov that he heard an Eitza Teiva from a great goyin, a great rabbi, that if a person has a cheshek, has a desire to want to improve himself, he should try to learn every day a little bit from Sefer Mishneh Torah, from the Sefer of Devarim. This was the Sefer, the entire Sefer Devarim was said by Moshe Rabbeinu in his last 36 days that he was with Klal Yisrael. And these were words of reproof. These were powerful words as a parting message to Klal Yisrael. He left them with a message that was powerful and left an impact that remained with Klal Yisrael till today. He taught them the meaning of constructive criticism, how it is a tool, how Klal Yisrael must live by Teichacha in order to constantly battle the Yetzer Hara and to always be ready to improve themselves no matter what, no matter where, no matter when. We begin the parasha with just a quote from a pasuk or two from Koheles. In Perek Gimel of Koheles, it says, "Lakol zman, ve'esh l'chol chefetz tachas hashamoyim." There is a time for everything, for all matters, for all things to be taken care of under the heavens. And a few pesukim later, in the list of timing or things at the right time, it says, Ace Likroa, the Ace Lispor, there's a time to tear and there's a time to mend. Ace Lachashos, the Ace Lidabir, there's a time to be quiet and there's a time to speak. Moshe Rabbeinu is the master of this skill and is now before he's passing away, where he gathers the entire Jewish people to give them Musa, to give them reproof, but to give it to them in a way that they would absorb it, accept it, and improve by it. Let's begin the Chumash from Pasuk Aleph, and let's read on a few lines. Ela hadvarim asher dibur Moshe el kol Yisrael. These are the words of reproof that Moshe has spoken to kol Yisrael. Be'eva hayarden, on the other side of the Jordan. Ba'midbar, in the desert. Ba'arava, in the place called Arava. Molsuf, in a place called Molsuf. Ben Paran uben Tofel. Ba'lovan v'chateos v'dizahav. First and foremost, it brought down again in the Sefer Be'er Moshe that when he said El Kol Yisrael, he was referring to all of the Jewish people throughout all of the generations. He's telling them things that they must know, and it wasn't just for the Jewish people then and there, but it's for us and now. And as he presents himself, he only hints to the different places that the Jewish people have sinned. When he said Bamidbar, he was hinting to the complaints that the Jewish people had when their food supply ran out 30 days after they left Mitzrayim, and they didn't ask appropriately. Ba'arava, what was this all about? He hinted to the case of Arvas Moav, the terrible, disgusting incident that happened with Baal Peor, and Pinchas had to save the Jewish people at the time. Mol Suf, the time where the Jewish people complained at the Yam Suf. Bein Paron uBein Teufel, V'lovan, all these places had to do with different complaints. Only a hint. He didn't openly criticize them. And with Chatzeros, another hint had to do with Korach, the Lashon Hara, that Miriam has spoken, and so forth. So, what was Moshe trying to get at? Moshe was trying to get their attention for them to prepare themselves for his departure so that they will go into their next leader with doing tshuva, with remorse, and with a clean and open heart to be able to serve Hashem properly. He also, with this reproof, tried to encourage them that despite the fact that they have sinned so many times, they shouldn't forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very merciful. He is a Baal Rachamim. And even though it's hard to imagine how many times Hashem has forgiven them for their averus, there is still no end to Hashem's Rachmanis if the Bnei Yisrael do tshuva. So the question is, why did he choose this time to go ahead and give them a rebuke? Why just now? I mean, these incidents happened throughout the history of 40 years. He purposely wanted to do it just now. What was the reason? So Rashi actually explains in Pasuk Gimel, where he is describing after the 40 years of traveling, and Rashi there explains there were two reasons for this. Number one, he learned from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu rebuked his children also right before his death. He wanted them to hear what he had to say. And when the children are around a father's bed and they know the days are limited, they are there with a much serious and willingness to absorb, to hear, and to inculcate the message so that the message is internalized. Moshe Rabbeinu followed Yaakov Avinu's lead. Yes, I have to get a message to the Bnei Yisrael. I want the message to be powerful, and I want it to make an impact. Right before he was going to pass away, he gathered all of the Bnei Yisrael so everyone can hear him. And they knew why, because they knew their leader Moshe was going to leave them. So he knew that they were going to listen with attentiveness, with a listening ear, and with an open mind and heart. There was a second reason why he chose this time to speak to them, because it was after the time when he had succeeded with Hashem's help in overcoming Sichon Melech HaMori and Og Melech HaBashan, the two very, very powerful kings who went to battle against the Bnei Yisrael, and he became a military hero. And it's natural when a hero wishes to speak to his people, they listen attentively and with respect. It's something natural, and they feel that they owe it to him, and they're much more receptive. Lahavdil elef hevdalos. When I speak to my class, I give this marshal. The time of the Second World War, Vayaleinu, millions of people perished. At the time, General Eisenhower was in charge of the defense of the American armed forces. When the war was won under General Eisenhower, he ran for office. And when he ran for office, it was a landslide victory for General Eisenhower. He became the next president of the United States. Why? Because he was a military hero. He was the one to have stopped the war and made the American people go back home and live at peace. So it was just a natural occurrence that they listened and they wanted him to be their president. Lahavdil elef hevdalos. We always say Lahavdil when we make a comparison to that to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a military hero. Under his leadership, he won this tremendous, tremendous two battles. One against Sichon Melech HaMori and one against Og Melech HaBashan. And therefore, he found this time to be apropos, to be able to give them Divrei Teichacha, Divrei Musa, in order for them to inculcate and internalize the message for all time. Moshe Rabbeinu has taught the Bnei Yisrael two very, very important mitzvos that must stay with them in order for Klal Yisrael to be able to maintain their high and most noble level of Kedush and Tahara. And that is, you have to love each other like yourself. But it goes hand in hand with if you want to be able to grow and rise to the challenge, then one must feel the responsibility in rebuking appropriately his friend, his neighbor, his brother, when it's at a time where you feel that rebuke is appropriate. But when you do rebuke, it has to be v'lo sisa olav chet, and not to bear any chet, any sin in the process. Because reproof, rebuke, we'll use a better term, we'll use constructive criticism is a tool. It's a tool for growth. It's not meant as a tool for punishment. Rebuke in the right way is helping your friend, your neighbor, your child grow to become a better and more productive person. Moshe Rabbeinu rebuked the Bnei Yisrael because he loved them. He wanted them to grow. He wanted them to be prepared for his departure while Yeshua ben Nun takes over. He wanted them to know that if each one cares for each other, each brother will be concerned for each other. V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. And if someone does something out of line which endangers the individual who's doing the infraction, then the brother who loves his brother will guide him and respectfully rebuke him to be able to help him correct himself and grow to the level that he potentially can rise to. It can only come about with loving your neighbor and rebuking him with the right measure of rebuke, with love, and with care. This is what he taught Klal Yisrael. And it's even mentioned in the first Rashi, because Rashi mentions at the very outset, he said, he sought Elu HaDvarim. Rashi says over here, these were places that he hinted to them. He didn't want to embarrass them. What did Rashi say? Rashi says, V'hiskirim beremez. He mentioned these points as just a hint. Mipnei kvodan shel Yisrael, because of the honor he had for the Jewish people. When you approach another Jew with care and honor, when you want to correct him, and he knows that's the reason why you are rebuking him, then he'll accept it, and he'll be willing to go along with your approach and with your suggestion. Let me read you two stories, beautiful stories, from the book called Peninim HaTorah. Beautiful stories that bring out this message very powerfully. I'm going to read it right for the book because it was written very well. In a living Mishnah's Rav Aaron, Rabbi Yitzchak Dershowitz relates two classic concerning tochacha with love. One concerning Rav Aaron, the second occurred with Rav Shneur, Zecher Levracha, that's his son and successor. In Kletsk, as well as in many of the Jewish communities of pre-World War II Europe, the alien winds of change were blowing. The Haskalah, the Enlightenment movement, sought to achieve what no pogrom in the previous 1,000 years had succeeded in accomplishing. Its leaders set out to devastate and obliterate traditional Jewish life totally. Whole families and entire communities were sacrificed on the alien altar of enlightenment. The yeshivas were not immune from these destructive forces. In Kletsk, the yeshiva, differences of opinion raged among members of the Hanhola, the administration, on how to deal with a student who was on the fringe. At what point should they give up and dismiss the student? Or should they persevere and hope that something would penetrate? The story goes that the Kletzke Mashkiach, who was a tzaddik, righteous and pious person, left the yeshiva because the Rosh Yeshiva held on to the hope that a certain student could be saved and should thus not be dismissed. But that tzaddik felt this student could have a very negative effect on the student body. So he felt that since his advice wasn't listened to, he just left. But the Rosh Yeshiva kept on. The student was moving rapidly to left of center. Before long, he would be completely off the derech, off the path of Torah. Rav Aaron was relentless, working with him constantly, never despairing of winning him back to Yiddishkeit. It seemed fruitless. Yom Kippur approached with the hope that this holy, auspicious day would somehow have an influence on the errant student. Kol Nidrei, Mariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, the Tfilas were passing by, and the Bacha did not appear moved, davening in the yeshiva with such a tremendous emotion and ruach. Suddenly, right before Nila, the closing prayer of the Yom Kippur service, Rav Aaron turned around and summoned the Bachas, the student, to come over. The student approached the Rosh Yeshiva, who immediately drew him close. He then took his talis and pulled it over both of them. No one knows what transpired underneath that talis. Was it the influence of those few awesome and loving moments davening together with Rav Aaron under his talis? Was it something that Rav Aaron said underneath the talis? What we do know is that the student became a Baal Tshuva. While I certainly do not know what occurred, we may assume when a person is rebuked, he often feels isolated from the rebuker. He is the sinner, and the other person is rebuking him and questioning his answers. No relationship exists between them, no bond of love, and no trust. When Rav Aaron included the student, bringing him under the talis, all that changed. Suddenly, the student felt himself as one with the Rosh Yeshiva. No barriers were set up between them. He could now listen to the rebuke because his skeptical feelings had been overcome and removed. That was the power of Rav Aaron, how he showed love while he rebuked. The following story was related about Rav Schneer, the son of Rav Aaron Kotler. His method of outreach to students who were straying from the path of Torah, similar. Observing the student for quite some time, a small group of Bachrim decided to speak with the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Schneer. They were certain that after the Rosh Yeshiva had heard all that they had gleaned about him, he would be asked to leave the yeshiva. After listening to them, the Rosh Yeshiva thought for a moment and said, "I will take care of it." The Bachrim thought that it had been settled. The student would be leaving. End of story. How else would Rav Schneer take care of the Bachrim? What did he mean, "I will take care of it"? Imagine their surprise when they noticed a few days later that the Rosh Yeshiva had a new chavrusa, a new study partner for the first Seder of the day. Yes, it was the student whom they thought was leaving. The Rosh Yeshiva had indeed addressed the problem and taken care of it in the manner he knew best. So here is two current examples of what it means to give Musa, how to give reproof. But the truth of the matter is, this is not really completely new to us at all. I mean, the Torah talks about how Avraham Avinu, when he had gotten into a argument, remember the story where Avraham Avinu had an argument with the Ro'eh Mikne Avram, the shepherds of Avram, and the shepherds of Lot. We know that story, and how Avram got to take control over that whole argument. What did he do? He said, "Ki anoshim achim anachnu, we are brothers, we don't have to argue. Wherever you will go, I'll go away. Well, let's just part, let's not fight." Right away he used terms to show there is kinship and love. Yaakov Avinu similarly. You know, Yaakov Avinu, when he went to Lavan, the brother of his mother, Rivka, He saw them in the field. There were shepherds seeming to waste their time around a well, and they weren't taking care of the flock. He didn't go right away and chastise them. He started a little conversation. V'yomer lahem, Yaakov, Achai, my brothers, my ayanatem, where are you? V'yomer mechor anachnu. Then he gets into a conversation. And then two psukim later, he then asks him, V'yomer hein od hayom gadol. Today is still great and much more time to graze the flock. Lo eitei otzei, if I'm mitten, it's not the time to gather in the flock. Why don't you go ahead and give them to drink and let's go back to work? He could have said that at the very beginning. The answer is, Yaakov was careful to rebuke them with sensitivity. And they responded with respect. It's so important to understand that teichacha, rebuke, is a powerful tool, but it could be a weapon. It could hurt people if it's said in the wrong way, but it could be a life-saving tool if it's said in the right way. Chazal say, "Ein chesed kechachas chaveiroi." There is no greater kindness than the kindness that a friend rebukes his neighbor. A friend rebukes a person because he loves him. That's the greatest chesed. I mean, to give you a simple example, you know, you're in a car and someone is driving and you see he's slowly falling asleep at the wheel. You scream at him, "Hey, Getz, what are you doing? Get up!" You don't hate him. You want to help him. You don't want him to hurt himself, nor you, right? I know a friend of yours is planning to walk, make a shortcut, but going through a dangerous neighborhood. And you rebuke him, say, "What are you doing that for? You're going to get yourself hurt. Don't do that." You're rebuking him with love because you care about him. The same thing could be done in a similar way in shul. Someone's talking. You can very politely motion to him with a smile. No, we don't talk here. You can put even your finger on your lips. Say, "No, we don't." Someone's speaking Lashon Hara at a dinner table or at a banquet. You say, "Gentlemen, you can be tactful." And I think that word is very important, to be tactful when you say something that might be taken in a derogatory way. You can say, "Gentlemen, I'm not sure if the things that you're saying borders Lashon Hara or not. Maybe we shouldn't speak that way." By saying something like that, you are raising the question of whether it's permissible or forbidden. You're being tactful. And when you do that, you're doing a tremendous chesed. I remember a story from Yaakov, a great Maggid of Yaakov Galinsky. Once said over, you know, to describe what it means to give musa to somebody. Imagine somebody's at a wedding. And he was at the smorgasbord, and he got some mustard or something on his sleeve, and he didn't see. And it looks terrible because he's about ready to walk into the ballroom. And somebody goes over to him and says, "Excuse me, Chaim, are you aware? Like, look at your sleeve. It's full of mustard. You know, you better clean it up." And Chaim looks around and he says, "You're right." And he's shocked. And he thanks him profusely. "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for telling me. I would have been mortified if I walked into the wedding hall, into the ballroom, looking like this. Thank you." Says Yaakov Galinsky, "But what happens if a person doesn't point to your sleeve, but he points to your neshama?" He said, "There's a little bit of soil on your neshama. You see that little soil, a little bit Lashon Hara, a little bit a little bit inappropriate jokes, or you know, there's a little soil. You know, why don't you just clean? Would you go also and go and blow up and get angry? Said, mind your own business. I don't need to be lectured by people like you. Would you say that? If you realize that the person is trying to clean your neshama, you wouldn't want to walk around with a filthy neshama. Obviously, the message is clear that when a person tries to help you, you have to look for the message and the meaning behind his rebuke. So what we're learning so far from Moshe Rabbeinu, that positive criticism is a tool for growth. It's an opportunity to become great and greater. Klal Yisrael is about to say goodbye to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu wants to give them a tool for life that they can climb the ladder of Torah and Yerushalayim till they leave this world. But they have to be able to do it correctly. They have to do it with sensitivity. The question now arises, actually, it's, if you say rebuke, you have to be sensitive. If there is a Gemara that says, it's brought down in my Rebbe Sefer Chidekel, that the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, when you rebuke, you can rebuke even 100 times. So, what does it say? It's double, to tell you can even rebuke somebody 100 times. So how do you understand that? 100 times can really get somebody upset. So the Sefer Chidekel brings down the question, this is the question of the Sirsei Chachamim, and the Sirsei Chachamim gives an answer. He says that only 100 times at the very time when the Avera is being done. Well, once it was done already, then the rebuke is not 100 times. That's not what the Chazal meant. However, my Rosh Yeshiva had another insight to this Gemara. And, you know, Yaakov Avinu rebuked his children before he passed away. Moshe Rabbeinu rebuked Klal Yisrael. I'll read you what my Rosh Yeshiva says. It appears that the intent of Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu is matzav hashvatim ubnei Yisrael b'ashora kolos. They were there trying to evaluate a general situation. What was this? And what did he want them to do? He wants them, Shehem Yisbainanu B'chol Minei Hamaisim. They should have introspection. They should think of what they're doing. Yisbainanu is a very important key to doing tshuva. You have to be Misbonen. And if you're Misbonen, V'sheyiru Olasu Tikun Kloli M'adregosam HaKlolis, to the general personality, if you're Misbonen, that is what the Torah wants you to do. What what Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu were trying to impart. They were trying to impart the message of Hisbainanus. Hisbainanus is an extremely important element in doing tshuva. It's not just change, but think of what you're doing and how to change. It's not just a knee-jerk reaction. The similar thing that Rav Aaron Kotler in Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron mentions as well. Let me read what it said. I'll read the text and I'll try to translate it carefully. Hinei chayvais ha-hizbainanus v'limut ha-musa mifareshes hi b'torah u'b'neviyim. The obligation to introspect, to be misbonen, to think about and to collect your thoughts and to examine your feelings and to learn musa, to learn instruction, is an obligation for from we see the Torah itself. V'kama parshios b'Torah, and how many, there are many parshios, portions in the Torah, or b'yichud, and in specific, b'sefer devarim, and in the Sefer of Devarim, that's the Sefer that Moshe Rabbeinu is now beginning to instruct the Jewish people before he passes away. Ubisefer Mishlei, and with other Svarim, how to go about in correcting our behavior. It's clear that this is a Torah rule. And everything depends on the way we take the rebuke. And it's so important. We are so familiar with so many popular Musa Sforim. Like there's Musa Sforim called Orcha Tzadikim, Shari Tshuva, Chovei Salvavos. And we're always familiar with, we know there's a custom of every Shabbos these days of learning Pirkei Avos, that's full of Musar, full of direction. After all, don't we begin the day in the morning with the Patik, Shema B'ni Musar Avichov Altitzei Shteres Imecha? Listen, my son, the instruction of your father, Altitzei Shteres Imecha, and don't abandon the Torah of your mother. All through reproof and rebuke, all comes together in shaping and perfecting the Ben Yisrael. I would like to conclude with a beautiful story mentioned in the Sefer of Rav Volba Zatzal. It's actually on the Haftorah of this week, Chazon Yeshayahu. And this week, the Haftorah, we know that's the reason why we named this week Shabbos Chazon. And there's a pasuk. And the pasuk, let me read it to you. It's almost at the beginning of the Torah. The pasuk says, Yadasho koineyu v'chamorevot b'yolov Yisroel lo yoda ami lo hisbonon. The meaning of the pasuk is, an ox recognizes his owner, and a donkey, the bowl that feeds him from his master. But Yisrael somehow does not know me, or does not recognize me. My people don't understand. They don't introspect. The part of this is Rav Volba says a beautiful short thought on this pasuk, and would like to conclude with this thought on the words Ami lo hisbonan, my nation did not contemplate, hisbonan, to think. In the Haftorah of this parasha, we read how Yeshayahu HaNavi lamented, my nation did not contemplate. The fact that he began his prophecy with the allegation shows that how essential his boneness is. What exactly is his boneness? And why is it so important? The Ramchal in Derech Eitz Chaim reveals the secret behind his boneness. The Torah is likened to a fire, and its every word is like a coal. If left unattended, a coal will glimmer slightly at best. However, if one fans the coals by toiling to understand the Torah, each coal will burst into a fiery flame. In addition, a person is endowed with the ability to reach awesome levels of spiritual comprehension, but this can only be accomplished if he ignites the fire through his boneness. Ramchal says, for Moshe Chaim Latatu says, that the world was specifically created in this fashion to allow for free will. If everything would be crystal clear at first glance, and we would immediately comprehend the absolute truth of the creator of the world and the Torah, we would never sin. The Yetzer Hara would have no dominion whatsoever, for we would recognize how every mitzvah is a treasure and how every sin is literally a disaster. In order to balance the scales, Hashem created a world where true knowledge is like a smoldering coal that has the potential to turn into a fiery blaze. Man must choose whether to ignite it or to allow it to remain a dim coal. With this in mind, we can understand how the need for his boneness, introspection, plays a fundamental role in the purpose of creation. His boneness is the motor that triggers a person's seichel, his intellect, to properly comprehend things, which aids him in his war against the Yetzer Hara. The more clarity he has in his role in this world, the less interest he has in sinning. His boneness is the ability to focus on an idea and objectively contemplate a topic with the intention of integrating the knowledge into one's own life. It means taking Torah and Mussar, ideas that we might already know, but only as a smoldering coal, and turning them into a roaring fire that will burn its way into our minds and hearts. In addition, his boneness is the tool a person must use to truly get to know himself. If he objectively contemplates his actions and life goals, he can arrive at realizations that will change his path in life for the better. These are the words of Rav Volba, a recent Gadol who passed away several years ago, and he gives us an insight what it means to grow with hispaninus, with introspection, with Musa. If we do this, then we're showing our children how to do it as well. And with this, we will be able to grow continuously in Torah Yerushalayim, bring nachas to ourselves, to our families, and to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Have a great week, and be matzliach. Kol tov.